something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we talk all things hockey, including my trip to the Oilers home opener.
We play Poem Sayin' 2000s edition.
And Jeremy and I share our best ideas for easy Halloween costumes. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you, bud?
Taggart, but Jeremy Taggart, but Jeremy Taggart, but Jeremy Taggart.
This is wonderful.
I could do that for an hour, bud. Welcome to the show, Taggart and Torrens. My name is Jonathan Torrens.
Episode 18.
We turned 18, bud.
18.
We're legal in Alberta and PEI.
What did you do when you were 18 that was probably the realization of being 18, Jonathan? Like, I'm getting to become an adult. What did you do?
I'm going to tell you something. I ruined a couple liquors for myself earlier than 18, like kind of 15, 16. Gin is one, vodka's another. So I went through a few years where I didn't even drink.
Oh, what about experience? Not necessarily drinking. Like, when did you lose the old tap bog in there, bud?
Lose the old what now?
When did you lose the virginity there, bud?
This is not a show or a forum for those kind of conversations.
Why not? I had a fake sex at 14. I wouldn't really call it sex.
Was anyone else there?
Yeah, no, for sure. But I thought it was like, it was pathetic and it wasn't really. But
what is that? It's like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. You can't. Well, yeah.
When you're that age, you're kind of in the what you would think is the act, and you're not necessarily really in there, but you're kind of close to the idea of it, and you think you might be.
Right.
It was one of those kind of things. And
filling
then,
in the blanks in your mind, sure.
Put it this way, it was a few years later till I really got in some real action, but I'll tell you what, that was like a fake real one. So, and if anyone asked me, I was Mr. Cool Guy. Oh yeah, 14, no sweat.
But then it was several years after that you solidified in actuality,
I was the worst and had zero game. The wheels
was
were
it a babysitter?
Miniature.
Like who else? At 14?
No, it was a legitimate girlfriend, but just pathetic, just sad.
What's her name?
Oh, I can't do
you
that.
You don't have to say her name.
I don't want to put her through it. I can put
Why
myself through it, but I don't need to put her through it. Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? She tells that story, and the punchline is, and guess who it was?
Yeah.
It was that drummer from OLP.
Exactly. And so what? Why is that an issue that's tough to talk about? I figure that's just like...
It's not tough to talk about in that I'm scarred by it.
Oh, okay. All right. I hear that.
It was probably not dissimilar to the experience of most,
yes.
But nothing earth-shattering to report in that arena.
So you were just in Edmonton, bud.
Speaking of legal in Alberta, I was. I spent a week in Yellowknife as part of the Peter Zosky Invitational. Used to be golf tournaments for literacy. They didn't do a golf tournament this time, but we did a couple of concerts with Barney Bentall.
Nice.
Speaking of Canadianity.
We were just talking about Barney Bentall.
Got something to live for.
That's right.
Good dude. Really nice dude. And his son Dustin is a rocker.
Yeah.
And Dustin was up there. Dustin's lady friend Kendall Carson is an old soul and a very gifted fiddle player. And Russell DeCarl from Prairie Oyster was up there. Mike Stevens, best harmonica player in the world. There was a bunch of heavy, heavy players. Connie Calder is a... folk singer and songwriter from Saskatchewan. She's the real thing. And so we traveled out to communities outside Yellowknife, which is pretty awesome. Only down thing to report is no caribou meat around.
Oh, really?
If you've ever jammed a caribou burger into your pink mouth, that'll set you straight pretty quick.
I have. You know what? I also, one of my favorite things in the world to eat is moose stew.
We did have... We had moose chili,
nice.
Which was really good. But apparently because of the forest fires up there this summer, the caribou are kind of not around. Did see some crazy northern lights, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I do there, because I'm not a rapper, but I play one on TV,
yep.
is with, I go into the schools and in the spirit of literacy and the origin of rap music on the street corners of New York, get these kids to write their own rap songs.
Oh, and nice.
There's some dope MCs in the knife.
That's cool. Did you lay down some jams?
Sounds like you're making a sandwich or something, bud.
No, I was just having a sip of coffee there.
Oh, that's what I'm doing too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a coffee clatch.
See, we're that was one of those things.
A couple guys having coffee.
I was hoping you would kind of go on for another 2 seconds, and then you kind of didn't. So I was just caught busted. In my coffee, bud.
So, bud, as you know, part of my trip was to slide through Edmonton on the night of the Oilers home opener, and we lost. Sure, it's something that's been happening a lot lately, and I want you to break that down for me, but. It's like the when it rains on a bride's wedding day, you couldn't punch the smile off my face. And Tom Gazzola is my buddy. He does the video for the team. They presented me with a jersey, nice. Oilers jersey with my name on the back. We were sitting the first row behind the bench. And what a gas that was. As a lifelong Oilers fan, to see a game at Rexall, a home opener, Battle of Alberta. It had all the makings of the perfect night, except the score.
Except the team.
Going on?
Well, I don't know if we've ever had that much young talent without an actual team part of it. I don't understand anything. I don't understand, like, what 3 or 4 years ago, it looked like that was the place to be. And even just to be, I remember talking to hockey players, to be an Edmonton Oiler and to be in that city, apparently it's one of the best places to be a hockey player.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people, the Lamb of God.
A lot of people complain about being there, but I've heard for players to be there, it's a really great community and people and they really enjoy it. So I thought that, you know, having Hall and Nugent Hopkins and Yakupov, like that much talent, I figured, okay, here we go again. But the fact that they all kind of chase the puck around like it's a pond hockey kind of, I really don't understand it. I don't get it. Like, here we are talking about how bad they are this early, and you know, I'm in Toronto with the Leafs, hearing like the fact that it's overshadowing the Leafs, even though Kessel kind of became heroic again.
Yeah, he did.
The Oilers are still the talk of the town for stinking it up.
But this is the thing. The last few years, there's been a caveat. Like, we're really good on paper, but we're just a couple key pieces away. The young guys are really starting to gel and find their game and whatever. But I feel like there should be no more excuses now. It's not like the kids are still 18.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of mid-20s. They've had a few years in the league. I still think we need, I don't know if Andrew Ference is the right captain, maybe, or I've always said we need a Chris Pronger type or a Chara, like some big ape, mammoth, veteran defense guy to calm everybody the hell down.
Yeah, and I worry that Eakins, who I thought was like, everyone was so, like they thought he was going to go to a big team and it was going to be a big deal, but he went there and everyone's like, okay, here we go. Young guy that's done well with the Marlies with a young team. The things are going to change, but now it's starting to turn into his neck. You know, Dallas Eakins might be the guy to blame for all of this
And it's the same for the Leafs. How early is too early to panic? Like every hockey fan does this. After a couple of games, you're like, oh my God, maybe the whole core of the team needs to be shipped out. The concern, of course, in Edmonton is that the young stars are going to finally say, get me out of here. I want to be on a team that wins, because that's got to be dispiriting for guys like Taylor Hall.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be them with the coach, because they just look terrible constantly all the time. Like, it's just the team plays poorly. You don't ever have a night where those three young stars play great on the same night. It's always like, you know, every other day or, you know, every two games, Hall's hot and then Nugent Hopkins is hot and then Yakupov gets hot. They never really work in one night to get to light the place up, which I would say is Dallas Eakins' problem. But
the crazy thing was, after the first goal, and it was a Calgary goal, it like a couple of minutes in, sucked the air out of the building, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And the Oilers were standing on the ice, looking up, watching the replay on the big screen in disbelief. They just looked shattered, and then Calgary scored a second time in the first 4 minutes of the first period.
Oh.
A fan ultimately ended up throwing his jersey on the ice, as has happened before there, but his iPhone was in it.
Oh, I heard about that.
So his iPhone landed on the ice, shattered.
That was your buddy?
Giants and Oilers fans. No, it wasn't my buddy.
Oh, I thought you said the name of the person that threw.
No, I said somebody.
I thought you said Sam threw his jacket. I'm like, no, a fan. I did see the cell phone on out of the coat pocket, but that is a sad, sad affair. Like you can't even win when you throw it. Like, screw you guys. No.
I know. Ugh. And you could just see Ben Scriven skated over to the jersey and he was shaking his head like, dude, this doesn't help.
Yeah.
But it's a hockey proud city and you can kind of feel it in the fabric a little bit. The fans are starting to get really, not even starting. In some cases, they're completely over it.
Yeah.
And it's not like Calgary is a powerhouse. Like if their first game was against LA and LA comes in and blows them away.
Sure.
Like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah, it just rubs salt right into things.
Yeah.
So
it's too early to panic, bud.
No, it's too early to panic about anything. I mean, we got the playoffs with the baseball is just cooking up. We finally have a Giants and the Royals who are on the hottest streak in history.
It's exciting.
It seems they've won eight and they've gone 8-0, and they're sweeping the shit out of the place. And
is your money on them?
Well, I think. I don't know if there's not too many people that aren't rooting for them. Talk about underdogs. The fact that they came from the wild card, it was initially the eighth inning and it was 7-3 and they came back and won that game. And here they are sweeping from that point. And, you know, at this point, they're probably not just the best team because of the momentum they have, but just the fact that they came out of nowhere and it's a small city or in the Midwest. Like the history is crazy. The fact that I feel a little concerned, and my dad too, because the last time they were in this position was 1985, but let's all remember that they crushed the Blue Jays.
Right.
The Blue Jays had them down 3-0, and they lost that series, and my dad lost his mind. And
that's when it happened? That was the moment?
The drive of 85, my dad had champagne, and he had everything going, and we were all excited, and game four happened, and it was instant. It was like game four. You knew, like, there was a transition, and it just, for some reason, the momentum had shifted so poorly that my dad was angry, even, like, when they were 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, you know, like, game seven, he still had no, like, he's like, he knew it was over, and it was terrible. So,
and he was right.
So I there's a little bit of a stomach ache from the drive of 85, but I think we'll let that go because I would rather see the Royals absolutely over the Giants because of the damn beards and the annoyance and the fact that they've had their fair share of World Series rings.
It's so defeatist. Like there were folks at the start of the third period at the Oilers game, there's like a mini exodus.
Oh.
You know, where like, well, on the bright side, let's beat the parking.
Yeah.
There's like 18 minutes left. The game's already a write-off.
Oh.
Do you ever leave, bud, when there's 3 minutes left?
Oh yeah, no. If a team is if a team's stinking it up, you gotta beat that traffic.
That's the only upside.
Sure. Yeah. It's the only legitimate fuck you that you can give in a sense.
Right.
The seventh.
I would
inning.
Rather beat the parking than watch you guys anymore.
Exactly. For sure.
Hey, Dion Phaneuf's on the cover of McLean's magazine,
and
be a week old because he's talking about how the home opener is so important to him.
Oh.
And how he can't wait to prove people wrong.
He can't wait to get another fight broken up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a break and come back.
Hey, we'll talk about Yakov Smirkov, or as he's also known, Milan Lucic, and his classy gesture last night at the Habs game. Hang on.
Where's my beer chair?
And we're back. How are you, Jonathan?
Fantastic. Thank you. Really enjoyed the break. Really happy to be back.
I poured myself another cup of coffee.
I'm still nursing the one that I had. Speaking of Nurse, by the way, the Oilers should put Darnell Nurse in the lineup on a regular basis.
That's a
big.
Good
there's a big, tall defenseman. He's a rookie. And he has a lot of stuff to learn, but he should be there.
I love the fact that it's just the big, big, big tough. They do need that. But yeah, so sorry.
Big
go ahead.
Time.
Go ahead.
So last night at the Habs game, you might recall during the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, allegedly, according to Weiss on the Habs, Milan Lucic whispered something like, "You're dead," or "I know where you live," or "I'm going to destroy your family."
Sure.
And this was the first game with the Bruins back at the Bell Center in Montreal.
Yep.
Lucic gets a penalty late in the game. It's 5-4 Habs, but he ruins the chance of a Bruins comeback. And it's an over-the-shoulder gif on the internet, but you can clearly see that Lucic is jerking his hand and then appears to, I would say, throw the contents of the jerking on the fans sitting behind the penalty box. Maybe I read this wrong.
The old thrown load move.
Yeah.
Which is very dirty.
Like a Dr. J skyhook over the glass behind the penalty box. Coating the folks in the first few rows in imaginary stuff.
Load. Yeah. That's some hardcore stuff, but I actually think they're looking into it. He probably is going to get a fine for that. And it doesn't really bode well for the next time he's going to be in Montreal.
Should he get a fine for that?
If you're a kid and you see that, if you know what he's doing, it's a little bit over the top. I mean, if they understand what it is, I'm sure he'll get a fine. But I mean, because people see it and there's an element that they have to address it. And it's not necessarily because of whether it's right or wrong. It's the backlash. And it only takes about, you know, a few hundred people to complain to the NHL and say, "My kids was disgusted by this," for them to say, "Okay, well, we should
covered in fake."
If we didn't fine him 2 weeks ago, then we're going to, so they'll probably throw something at him. But I mean, in the big picture, it's good for the rivalry. People like to see that, but I mean, it's pretty bitter. It doesn't get much more bitter than that. But I mean, the Habs have been just taken. Pacioretty's definitely doing what he's supposed to do.
This guy is just flying
out of the gates.
The thing that takes a sport from being a pastime to an obsession is heroes and villains.
Sure.
I don't endorse the gesture, but what I like is Lucic is really passionate. He's a bird jabber and classless and lacks tact and all those things, admittedly. But he's super passionate, hyper competitive, and easy to dislike. And I think that's good for the game.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. They'll watch their own asses with some kind of a fine to keep the lawyers away. But yeah, it's great for the rivalry. I mean, remember when the Raptors, they had that press conference and I think Majiri said F Brooklyn or whatever, fuck Brooklyn, and people went crazy. So yeah, these things make sense.
It often backfires though, doesn't it?
It always does. Like, there's always an element.
It's going to be next time the Bruins come to town.
Always an element of backlash.
Yeah. But backfiring, too. Like, it's not effective.
No, absolutely, for sure. What else happened in Edmonton? Anything else happen after the game? Good times? Were you...
So there were a few... there's lots of, "Hey, J-Rock, quick snap," which is great.
Yeah.
Super respectful and awesome people in that town. Reminds me of the Maritimes, like kind of blue-collar... honest to goodness, working folks kind of town. Mm-hmm. With also the highest job growth in the country over the last year. So you can tell it's thriving and there's lots of infrastructure and buildings being built everywhere. So there's some dudes sitting next to me, couple guys probably my age and their sons, probably 8 or 9. And we get to chatting and one of the guys says, "We're from Athabasca, Alberta." And nice. I said, "Isn't that home of?"
The Jay Onright.
Home of Jay Onright, friend of the show and a bud.
Yes.
So I said, "Isn't it Athabasca? That's where Jay Onright's from." And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "So do you know Jay?" And he said, "Well, not really, but I felt up his sister in high school."
No way.
Yeah.
He felt up his sister in high school.
Which, does that count as a name drop? I don't even know.
I don't know. We got to talk to tell Jay about that. That's classic. He'll love that.
I wouldn't want to get him all fired up and
how could he get fired up? That's just good times in high school.
Is it? That's all that is?
Yeah, well, I'm sure, you know, if he said I felt her up, he didn't do it, like, when she wasn't looking. You know
but
what I mean?
But mathematically, wouldn't he be able to say, felt her up in high school? No, well, it's not, you know, Corby, because he moved away to the oil patch. It's Glenn. It's got to be Glenn.
And if Jay can just throw out that he had a dump on the way on his pants on the way to work, like, he's going to be okay with the feeling up story.
I guess, but what if he gets all banged up on Helen Keller's Christmas Eve and goes over to confront Glenn at his house?
Oh, my God. Well, then that will just be even more fodder for greatness.
Hey, are you on the wall of Canadian fame at the Jay and Dan pod?
I am.
I'm holding out. What did they put up on the wall to represent
you? There's a picture of, there's an OLP photo up there.
Nice. As there should be, by the way.
Yeah.
Really deserved. I'm holding out in the off chance that they ever come a calling. I have just the perfect thing to go on their wall.
Oh, really? Well, I figured there's the Trailer Park Boys. You should be in that, to be honest.
Like, oh, are they on the wall?
I think they're on the wall, yeah.
Oh, good. They should be on the wall.
They should have you in there, too.
As nice.
Now the fact that you're a writer and director of that wonderful series.
Jeremy, thank you. Apparently season 9 drops on Netflix in February, and we're all excited about it because it's pretty crazy storytelling.
Well, you know what? I will have to come to that party in Toronto. I'm sure there will be some kind of an event at some point.
A launch event?
Yes.
So let's get to the game that we're going to play today. Here's what we've done, friends. We've taken a couple of classics. We've taken some suggestions from you folks, and we've combined them into one new game. You might recall we used to play a game called Poem Sayin', which is where we find cheesy songs and challenge the other person to read it without laughing. Right, Jer?
We love Poem Sayin'.
Poem Sayin' was really fun and hard.
This would be Poem Sayin' 2000s edition.
And I went all Canadian. So we've changed the rules. Yeah, we don't have to, but I just opted to because that's how I roll.
I did a little bit of, I did some American and European. So I did not Canadian. So that's...
That's perfect. We'll be well represented.
We got a little bit of everything.
So the challenge is, Jeremy's going to read the lyrics to a song from the 2000s, and I have to guess what it is, and vice versa. The rule is, if you get to the chorus and the other person doesn't know what the song is, you don't win. It's too late. Because obviously the title of the song is often in the chorus.
Yes.
And that would be too easy.
And so also, we'll also give a couple of verses, too, just in case, to give it an opportunity, because sometimes the verses are very short.
So just to give each other a fighting chance, should we give a broad strokes category?
Oh, like that's a good idea.
This one is under the umbrella of mid-2000s ballad, say.
And genre.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right, so we need a name for this game, too.
It's Poem Sayin' 2000s edition.
Awesome. So yeah. Should we take a quick break and we'll get into Poem Sayin'?
Let's do it.
Be right back on TNT.
And we're back.
Here's Poem Sayin', the 2000s edition.
Why don't you go first?
Okay, I'll go first. So I'm going to read the lyrics to a song. Category for this one is Canadian. 2000s for sure. Pop song.
Canadian pop song. 2000s.
If I get to the chorus and you haven't guessed it, then I get a point. You ready?
Yep.
Chill out. What you yelling for? Lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you will see. I like you the way you are, when we're driving in your car. And you're talking to me one-on-one, but you've become somebody else round everyone else. You're watching your back like you can't relax. You're trying to be cool. You look like a fool to me.
Oh, I know this one.
What is it?
Is it Complicated or whatever, that one?
You're darn right it is.
Avril Lavigne?
Way to pull that out of the air.
How about it?
Why do you have to go and make things so complicated? I see the way you're acting like you're somebody else. Gets me frustrated. Yes. That's what always bothered me with that song. It's frustrated. You're making it frustrated to make it rhyme with your lyric.
You're frustrated.
Have you heard, there's a song on the radio right now that goes like, unconditional, unconditional, unconditional.
No.
They changed the pronunciation of the word unconditional to make it rhyme. That's not allowed, right?
No, that's cheating.
That's total cheating.
Ripping. Yeah, that's cheating. That's a cheating. That's a cheating. And that sounds like the Mario Lopez dad. No, Mario, that's a cheating.
Hey, Mario, I need to talk to you about your cheating again.
You come downstairs, you're cheating. You can't stop cheating.
Why are you going to be cheating again?
I see you from here, you keep cheating. I see you cheating.
Mario, your teacher calls that you are cheating again.
I'm sitting 16 feet and I see you cheating. His dad, he's got this like Earl Woods, Tiger Woods dad type thing with him like playing like some game. I can tell you're cheating, Mario.
It's funny that you went that and I went Antonio Banderas.
Mario, we need to talk about your cheating again.
Two different takes on Mario Lopez's dad.
I see you're cheating. You're cheating again, Mario.
And maybe his mom is the,
No, Mario, don't cheat again! Please, you're not still cheating again!
No, Mario's not cheating! He's not cheating!
Mom, look, I'm not cheating. No, Mario, you're cheating! Why do you cheat again?
Alright.
Okay, let me go with my song here.
Okay. That was really good, by the way, bud. Congratulations.
Thanks. You too. You ready?
Yeah.
That was good reading, by trying to falsify the song by reading it like that, too. I'm going to do that.
Well, it's tricky, because do you read it in the rhythm that it's sung?
I know. Like, I don't think
what you waiting for? That would be almost like singing it.
Yeah, no, that would suck. Don't do that.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here's mine. This is a rock genre, and it's from America.
Okay.
Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life...
I just heard the news today.
I close my eyes.
Close my eyes.
Begin to pray.
Begin to pray. Creed?
Then Creed tears is the band. Of joy stream tears down my face.
Yeah, you got my it.
Imagine him writing in the shower. Well, I don't know.
What is it called, though? I'm trying
if
to
I'm
get
ready
to the chorus.
Being a man. Have to be. You want some toast?
I'll take her
next.
I'll take her by my side. check out this. We're standing off. We created life.
We created life?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
With arms wide open.
Eyes wide open, that's it.
Arms wide open. How about this one's pretty funny. If I had one wish, only one demand, hope is not like me. Like the old classic, daddy's a fuck up. And he really is. This was like this was before he started like doing hardcore like meth and whatnot. Who knows what he does? Crazy drugs.
But I'm going to tell you, Creed probably still plays casinos, don't they?
Yep. They still have a market. But
describe the woman who's at work right now writing a Facebook message or post about how excited she is to go to a Creed concert tonight. Where is it and what's she wearing? Go.
You want me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, preface once more and I'll hit it.
Okay. Describe the woman who's writing a Facebook post right now that says, so psyched for Creed tonight with the girls. Okay, what's her name? Where does she work? Where is she? What's she going to wear? What's her drink?
Her name's... Well, you can interview me. Her name is Linda.
Yep.
She works at Target.
Yeah.
And she's a huge she's a huge fan of the She's a huge fan of the Colorado Avalanche. She's wearing an Avalanche jersey. What's the other questions?
What's she gonna wear tonight? And what's her drink of choice?
Yeah, she's definitely wearing a home Avs jersey, and she likes those red beer cans that you screw off that are big. Aww. wide things.
And it's a roadie with the girls because Creed's playing at the casino in Glenwood Springs. They yes. couldn't book Denver,
in so Boulder. They're playing in
Glenwood Springs, yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
That's her.
That's her, right, Linda?
Where's this her?
She's going.
Where's the girl? And every time she hears with arms wide open, it reminds her of her dad.
Okay, you got to go on to yours now before we...
All right.
Get litigation from Creed.
Okay. 2000s. Canadian. Like super band. Bunch of folks. Rock with Gusts Up to Pop. Ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
I woke up again this morning with the sun in my eyes when Mike came over with a script surprise. A mafioso story with a twist. A Tu Wong Fu Julie Newmar hitch.
Oh.
Get your ass out of bed, he said. I'll explain it on the way. Here it comes. But we did nothing. Absolutely nothing that day.
Yeah.
And I say...
Yeah, that's the... What am I doing drinking in L.A. song?
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. Brand Van 3000.
There you
what
go.
What the hell am I doing drinking in L.A. at 26?
Yep. Now it's what am I doing... Hanging out in Scarberia at 36 without bus Island. Fare.
Wow. Did you ever meet those cats?
I don't really remember. Like, I don't even know anything about who's in that band. Like, you think about right. it. Who, I remember they had a singer, a woman singing it, but was she even in the band? I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think so either, but I think it was one of those, like...
Hip hop, like
seven of us from different bands, and we're all kind of in a thing,
like Len, like that kind of deal,
right? Well, you know the Nova Scotia ties to Len. Corey Bowles, who's in Trailer Park Boys, was in a rap combo called Hip Club Groove.
I remember
Mike
them,
Plattenberg and I directed a music video or produced a music video for Hip Club Groove called "Shooting a Gift." Rich Terfry, who's now Buck 65, was good friends with the Hip Club Groove guys. They were good friends with the Len folks, so when Len started, Mark and Sharon from Len were in this video that we made, and when Len started, Stinkin' Rich, before he was Buck 65, was supposed to be in Len, so he's in the album cover artwork before he pieced them out.
And then, because Brendan Canning was in Len, wasn't he from Broken Social Scene? And
was he really? I know the Costanzos were, Mark and Sharon, and Derek, I think D-Rock was his handle, and Brian Higgins was a DJ from Hip Club Groove. They were both in Len.
Yeah.
And but I then think, they started doing crazy stuff, like slipping X-Lax in people's drinks at Grammy parties and stuff. Like, they were out there, man.
Yeah, they got into shenanigans and trouble.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And I know there's a hip-hop guy right now, French Montana's his name. He was pounding one of the Kardashians. And when I was working on the Jenny McCarthy show last year in New York, French Montana was the guest, and he came, and he was like a Mickey of vodka over the limit, like could barely function, couldn't really put a sentence together. And I think he was on Diddy's label.
Nice.
And like, how are you today, French? Like one of those guys. And I remember asking the A&R guy from the label, like, this guy's new, he's blown up out of nowhere. Obviously, there's a period where you let people kind of enjoy their own hype or success or whatever. Like, how do you manage that? And he said, oh, it's real simple. They get 6 months. But after 6 months, you're wasting our time and our money if you're not showing up and being on point for the business stuff.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's interesting. Like, did you ever do much music wasted or any of that stuff?
No.
You obviously never missed a gig because you were drinking too much.
Yeah, no, just never been, like, too wasted at, like, for... public performances, really. I mean, afterwards, for sure, but always was pretty careful about not getting too banged up while performing. It's not a good move. You don't really work too much longer after that.
No, I bet. But a lot of guys do it.
Who's up, bud?
I think it's you. Because you got Brandman 3000.
That's right. I got it. That's right, I got it. Okay, here I go. You ready for yours?
Yeah, what's the category?
This is R&B / hip-hop.
Okay.
Be American again.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I'm going to give you the first verse. Here we go. This might be tough.
Okay.
I was like, good, gracious ass, bodacious.
Yeah, Nelly.
Holy moly. I suck.
And a little of the and a little of the
You are, see, you're just like a pop culture, like SpongeBob.
Can I put that on a business card?
Yeah, flirtatious, trying to show faces, looking for the right time to shoot my steam, brackets, you know, looking for the right time to flash them keys, then I'm leaving, please believing, me and the rest of my heathens, check it, got it locked at the top of the Four Seasons, penthouse, rooftop, birds I feedin', no deceiving, nothing up my sleeve, no teasing. I need you to get up on that dance floor. Yeah. Give me that man what he asking for.
Amen.
Because I ain't feeling like busting loose, and I feel like touching use.
Please do that at karaoke. Please do that at karaoke. Do you want to hear a great Nelly story?
Yeah.
Speaking of the Jenny McCarthy show, so Nelly was a guest on that show as well.
Yeah.
And I think he took a shine to Ms. McCarthy before she was married to Donnie Wahlberg.
Sure.
And he was blowing up her phone after the show, like, would you enjoy some company this evening? She was like, I have an early flight. Well, are you sure? Well, you know, we could just hang out. You know, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show. Not tonight. So she gets on the plane in the morning and her phone rings. Look to your left. Why, it's Nelly. She was in like 3F and he was in 3A. Yeah. Ready for the best part?
Yeah, let's hear it.
No shirt on.
Come on.
On the plane, no shirt on.
Shirts off. Business class.
How baller is that?
Like, that's it? The whole flight?
Yeah. So he says to the guy beside him, will you switch with me? My friend's over there. And the guy's like, no, I'm not switching. Yeah. So Nelly says to Jenny on the phone, ask the guy beside you if he'll switch with me. So Jenny says, would you mind switching with my friend? And the guy looks over and sees Nelly with no shirt on and goes, Nelly? Yeah, I'll switch with Nelly. So no shirt and Nelly sat beside Jenny. He's like, Nelly? I'll switch with Nelly.
Oh my God. So then she had a shirtless Nelly beside her the whole flight.
Yeah.
That's weird. Did he fall asleep?
That is not given a F.
Well,
wearing no shirt in business class.
How do you go? Did he like take it off when he went in the plane, or did he like?
Oh, I think it was just a little of the and a little of the You know what I mean?
Wow.
Maybe it was getting like hot in there.
I've done that as a joke, like on a plane, like on a bet. Yeah. Oh yeah. I've done like see how long I can have my shirt off without telling someone.
You know what's the best bet ever? What? If you're sitting in like 12A. Get up and walk to the back of the plane to use the bathroom with no shirt on.
Well, I've done
that. Would be baller.
I've done that, like where I've had no shirt on for probably a half an hour.
Have you gone to the bathroom with no shirt on?
No, but I mean, it was pretty clear around me, and it was just stupid more than anything, to be honest. It was fun as an op. I think it's on YouTube, actually.
No.
Yeah.
Boob tube.
YouTube.
All right, here's your next one.
Okay.
This is, I didn't even know this guy was Canadian. It could be filed under the category of cheese and also one hit wonder.
Oh, so that takes out Rock Voisin.
Yeah, he had two, Helen and I'll Always Be There.
Yeah.
Cheese, one hit wonder, and to hear these lyrics now is kind of devastating given that he was a one hit wonder.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Where is the moment we need it the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. They tell me your blue skies fade to gray. They tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need no carrying on.
Oh.
You stand in the line just to hit a new low. You're faking a smile with the coffee to go.
Ooh.
You tell me your life's been way offline. You're falling to pieces every time. And I don't need no carrying on. Any guesses?
Man, those are some bad lyrics. I don't know who. They're so bland.
Well, you need a blue sky holiday. The point is, they laugh at what you say.
Oh, is that Sky? Sky?
No, it's funny, because I thought about Sky. This is not Sky. This is... Because you had a bad day.
Oh, that guy. You take a run
down. You sing a sad song just to turn it on.
I can't stand that song. That song is like the...
Daniel Powter.
Yeah, that's... I didn't know that guy was Canadian, but that song is like the theme for like all those idol shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They always
say
play
no,
it.
No, no. Tell me no lie.
They always
get a smile.
They always have the big vignette, slow motion of the person who just got ripped and kicked off the show.
But let me ask you something. If you're Daniel Powter and they're using your song as the exit song on Idol, is that your set for life kind of dough?
I guess. I don't know. I'm sure. That song was huge. Probably made $1 million from that tune.
Right.
So
$1 million doesn't stretch as far as it used to, bud.
No, it sure as hell doesn't, Jonathan Torrance.
This is what I've always wondered about one-hit wonders, though. How do you tap into the public zeitgeist for 4 minutes and then never again? I think we've talked about that before. But like, Come On Eileen, unbelievable tune, unbelievable musicianship, and really was of that time. How do you never do that again?
I don't know, but I think that band, like, you know, a lot of those bands, they run out and they'll go and perform and they'll have their run and you can generate a massive amount of money. It's just like a business that kind of only lasts for a year or two, but does well.
But the big trick is if you're, if you're Dexy's Midnight Runners, where in your set do you do Come On Eileen? If you do
first
it third?
First and last.
Yeah. Good call.
The old bookends.
Because if you do it third, people are going to be like the Oilers game in the third period. They're going to be heading for the cars to beat traffic. Although probably not that much traffic leaving Dexy's Midnight Runners concert.
You start it and you're saying, don't worry, this will be the fast and we'll do it again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you got to say it. That's right.
For sure. Is it you or is it me here?
It's you. A buddy of mine saw Brian Ferry recently and he played Slave to Love second. And he did the same thing. Don't worry, I'll play it again.
Okay, there. So far, you're just killing it. Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, I think you were too. I think it's 2-2.
No, I know, but you're getting him on, like, the first words here.
That is not something to brag about.
I know.
All right, hit me.
Okay, you ready? I might have to go two verses before the chorus, just so you don't...
What's the category, bud?
It is pop...
Yeah.
And I do believe this person is from the United Kingdom.
Okay.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure.
Oh, you're beautiful, James Blunt.
Jeez. My come love on, is brilliant. JT.
Your love is pure.
I saw an angel. I'm sure. She smiled at me on the subway. She was with another man. But I won't lose sleep on that, because I got a plan. Yeah, he's going to croak himself. That's that deal.
Everyone with leggings, Ugg boots, and a pumpkin spice latte used that as their personal private anthem.
Yep.
For several years. Hoping the guy across from them was thinking that.
And then people think of that song as so genuine and like believe it so harshly, like, or so... intently, like, oh, James, he loved her so much. Meanwhile, he, like, saw her for 2 seconds, wrote the song, and he, like, wheels like nobody you've ever seen in your fucking life in a
Ibiza. Does he? Are you guessing or you know that?
No. He hardcore party, like, that guy rolls to, like, he'll live. I think he, like, has a place in Ibiza. Like, that's
no.
The kind of party. I'm not kidding.
How do you know that? Did you ever play, like, the... It's the MTV Europe Music Awards with Our Lady Peace, James Blunt. and Madonna.
Yeah, no, no, we never did that. But there's lots of been lots of stories of his party lifestyle, and he like gets nuts.
Well, if you're trying to wheel a bird, macking on them with your beautiful in your arsenal, that probably takes the edge off pretty quick.
Yeah, but then he goes to frickin', you know, he has to wheel like Tiesto in Ibiza with his little Tom Cruise smile.
Right.
I got VIP bottle service, ladies. Check out my smile. Would you like me to sing I'm Beautiful?
Was he a one-hit wonder?
I guess. I don't know.
Wasn't he also, song. He was in the forces, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he was like a military brat kid.
Hey, are you going to the Daniel Powter, James Blunt show this weekend, bud?
Yeah.
In Molson Amphitheater?
I think it's at the El Macombo.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going.
Can't wait.
I'm hoping to play on the next James Blunt record.
Are you really?
No.
Okay. I have to be careful because ever since you confessed to liking 2.5 Men, I just don't know where you stand on some of this stuff.
Oh, God. Hey, see, me, all of a sudden I'm just the devil because I find Chuck Lorre amusing at points.
You're not the devil. You're the devil for other reasons. Let's take a break. We'll be back to wrap it up. Hang on.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
And we're back.
Hey, so Halloween's just around the corner.
Ooh.
Your kids are right in the hot zone. What are they going as?
I'm excited. My son John, who's 8, he's into like the darkest, creepiest thing you can be. So it's just this black kind of Grim Reaper thing with red eyes, which is kind of creepy.
Awesome. How do you do red eyes? Contacts on a kid?
No, they do like it's like a mask that's just a black that you can see through with lights.
Wow.
So it's like literally like the lights are above your eyes, but it like looks like you're in the dark or at night. It just looks like a black with red eyes, which is really creepy.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think everybody else is zombieing it up because it's zombie year.
We have a fairy and a Red Riding Hood. I've been trying to get one of them to go as a bag of garbage.
Ooh, nice.
Because I think that's a great unexpected costume.
Yep, yep.
Or like some pile of compost or something with worms on their face.
Have you
best
ever...
Best costume I think I ever saw was a guy walking at a suitcase on over his waist with the back open.
Oh.
And he rigged clothes on hangers like they were exploding out of the suitcase. He was an exploding suitcase.
That's amazing.
That's so cool. I went as a hearing impaired person one year.
Oh my God.
It was a great costume because I just went to Kinko's and made business cards saying, I'm a hearing impaired. That is my costume.
Come on.
People were like, why aren't you dressed up, bud? I just hand them a card.
That's like
my younger, cheekier year.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where everybody's like, you just get in fights when you're at the party.
Yeah.
You're just asking for it.
Especially when like, yeah, my hearing impaired cousin Mallory is in town for the party. That's really tactful.
Yeah, I remember
what he just did.
Like, it's just so lazy too. I remember one year me and my buddy Jeff Merrick went out and as like people are like, we didn't have any costumes, but we had like miniature fish in our pocket. So we just said, we're the ocean. If anyone asked what you are.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pull out some
so
fish.
Easy. I think because I dress up for a living, the novelty of getting dressed up at Halloween is kind of lost on me.
Yeah. Well, my dad got into it one year. He dressed up as Frankenstein, like full on with the makeup and the boots. And like he was...
And scared kids at the door?
No, he went to a party with my mom, like some social gathering, which is very rare for them. But he was dialed like full on Frankenstein. But I guess at the party, he started getting a little lightheaded. My dad doesn't drink, and when he does, it's a bad idea. He instantly becomes crazy. Same as me.
So he was drunk, crazy Frankenstein?
Drunk, crazy Frankenstein. Apparently, he took some beer bottles and like was playing beer, like drumming on the bar, and people were like clapping and like getting like a semicircle around him.
Ronnie.
One of those, like just getting going on the bar. And then apparently he lost it on some guy that he thought was making a pass on my mom. So he just like, it became like this big furious like fight. And, you know, they came home and it was a big scene. Classic. Awful.
I thought for sure you were going to say the beer bottle smashed on the bar and then he got shards of glass in his eye.
No, and then my dad started chewing it up like he does.
Do you have, like, dudes in your circle that it you're fine if they put their arm around your wife or whatever, and then other dudes where it's not cool? I was talking about this with a friend of mine yesterday who said there are a few guys that they could toss my wife around the room or have a dance or whatever. It's no problem. But there are those couple of dudes in my sort of outer circle that I just know. I can see by the look in their eyes. They're smiling like a husky. I just know.
Yeah, it's too creepy. Well, I mean, I'd like to think that that's a little overboard, like the idea where it's like, yeah, man, this is too much. But I know exactly what you mean. But I don't really care, to be honest, just because I know that Lisa, deals with it on her own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure that she wouldn't let some guy throw around that if she felt that he was huskying it up, you know?
We married up, didn't we, bud?
Hell yeah.
We did well for ourselves.
Hey,
thanks for listening to TNT.
Thank you for listening to TNT. And
always great chatting with you.
Always a good time chatting with you. And listen, the next time I talk to you will be great as well.
I look forward to it, Jeremy.
Good night, Jonathan.
Good night, Jeremy. Let's do it again.
See ya, Mario. Don't be cheating.
Good night again. Let me try it again.
Fucking right, eh?